Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here because it's time for your listener questions, the show where you never know what topics we're going to cover, but we love hearing from you. It's awesome because it could be cruise line, could be a little Disneyland, Walt Disney World, resorts, theme parks. We have all kinds of questions lined up for you here today, and we've got a question from listener Samantha here in the Midwest, just like me. She's heading down to Walt Disney World, but she's never been there before, and she's going to take her family down. They only have one day, so she needs some great advice. Stat, we have some thoughts, so stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Check this out. I love it. I saw this today, and I got excited. 28 days to go till Marathon Weekend 2019, less than a month till 48.6 magical miles. But you know what? I'm looking forward to things outside of the races. Today, I don't know why, but I got a craving for a meal at Pinocchio's Village House. I know. What's up? That's what I love about Walt Disney World. You never know what you're going to get excited for. But every time I place a phone call, post to social media, get a text message, I look down at my phone and I can see how many days I have left to go till my next trip. You can do the same. Check out all the great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Amazon's got some great deals for your holiday shopping. Still time to get stuff for Christmas. And when you do that, please support the Be Our Guest podcast in the easiest way possible. Just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, bookmark it on all your devices, and we get a small commission on every purchase. And it really does help support the show. It goes towards our hosting and bandwidth, which are ever increasing with our growing audience, which we love and don't mind at all. But hey, it's an easy way to support the show. So as you do your holiday shopping this season, please click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1419 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel, who right now this time of year, if you're watching the live stream over on Facebook or you go to the YouTube to check this out post-podcast, you can see that, you know, the owners of the agency make us little elves, Santa's little helpers this time of the year. Because we can help you put a trip under the tree. Still, you know what? And I said this in the ad read for Friday's podcast, but it's kind of the ultimate gift if you want to do two things. One, you're a terrible procrastinator. You know what? This can be done. It can look like you plan this thing out in September, and you could probably do this on the 23rd of December, and it still looks great. And two, you want that epic gift that the family will be talking about for the next 50 years. Remember that year that we went to Walt? Yeah, that's what you're going to do. So anyway, I'm excited. I got my Santa hat on. So, yeah, hey, let's do this. Let's plan a Disney vacation. But right now, we're here to answer your listener questions. We're going to have a good time today. Again, I apologize for last week. I know it sounded a little sketch. I had some audio issues I tried to fix in post. I think we fixed those this week. And you know what? I got rid of the migraine headache that I had last week. I looked at the video. I was pale as a ghost. I looked like...
You were absolutely
I did not look good. Yeah,
I did not look good post. But you know what? I'm Cal Ripken. I'm not missing the streak. It was horrible, but probably had like five errors. But you know what? I was in the lineup. So there you go. So today we're going to do better and answer your listener questions. Ricky's joining us from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com.
I'm from the Mouse for Less.
That's right. That's right. And, you're copying me from my head. So what's going on, Ricky? I love it.
Oh my goodness. Well, still without the computer, so that's exciting. Need a new motherboard, which is super, super thrilling. Yeah, so just getting ready to celebrate the holidays with the fam. Going up to the STL this weekend. So I'm really excited about doing that. Actually, I'm going to Jefferson City, Missouri. Woo!
Jeff City. Yeah, and go. You know what? I wanted to see the governor's mansion because we have a new governor because our other one had to leave office. And this new governor, Mike Parsons, he seems like a nice guy. And he's really, really kind of the opposite of our former governor, where he's really inviting Missourians to come see the mansion. They've decorated for the holidays, which has always been something you could do in Missouri. But I mean, he's really reaching out. So maybe you want to do that while you're in town. It looks like it's going to be wonderful.
I don't think I will be.
Just saying. I don't have to drive all the way out there. I go to Columbia enough, and that's just as far. So,
But I will definitely be in Jefferson City.
So. There you go. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. She is the chief elf this time of year, Santa's major helper. We have Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam?
So, like you, Mike, this is like the only thing that my family is talking about that they want for the Christmas this year is a trip. Those little memes that you've seen everywhere, like my size, you want to know my size? It's size 7 nights at the Polynesian or whatever. I mean, seriously. So I don't know. My family's been good at this. But Steve just sent me an article that was actually written by a bona fide psychologist saying that the presents that you give that are experiences really, really impact your children in a good way. They do not need one more thing. And if you were a parent, like I was a parent when Hannah was little, I would say this all the time. She does not need one more thing. She is taking over the house with her stuff. So anyways, consider, you know, doing an experience. It doesn't have to be travel. It could be a museum membership. It could be, you know, whatever local thing is in your area. I get it. Those kind of things are really, really important to kids. And I think it's a great idea. We always did lots of experiences or tried to.
Absolutely. It's the memories you make and those photos you're going to have forever. And, you know, like, I can't remember what, because we were talking about this, Pam and I, you know, what was Mallory's big gift last year? We figured it, you know, it took us forever to remember that, but you remember trips and you remember experiences. So anyway, all right, let's get to today's listener questions. That's why you're here, not to hear us yak on, but we do that. Okay,
yeah, sure,
so this one came in just today, but I had to put it at the top of the queue because Samantha needs a little advice. Okay, so she's panicking. And when you got panic, I feel bad. So here we go. Title of the email, brand new to Disney and not a clue what to do. So there you go. That gets you to the top. All right, she says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm a brand new listener and wish I had found you sooner. I'm binging your podcast and love it. Well, my husband and I decided on a whim a few months ago to go to Florida on vacation and spend 2 days in Orlando and are going to Disney one day and SeaWorld one day before heading to the beach. I'm 32 years old and have never been to Disney. All caps. Just so you know, all caps.
Got it.
Darth Vader, breathe a little less. No, just kidding. Ricky, you got a little heavy breathing going on there. So just
I'm going back.
Okay,
see, we had problems before.
Because I know the listeners are like, okay, Ricky, you're getting excited over this never been to Disney thing.
I'm getting excited. All right.
We're here. Okay, good. And now I'm so sad we aren't going to Disney more than one day, but we honestly didn't know our 3-year-old son and 1.5-year-old daughter would do. Again, decided on a whim. Now I'm like, what was I thinking after listening to your podcast of not planning more Disney time? Look at that. We're working. It works. Regardless, she says, we want to pack as much into this day as we can and try not to miss too much for our kiddos. So here's the plan. We are going Tuesday, May 7th, 2019 to the Magic Kingdom only. We plan to rope drop and get there an hour before opening. You're on the right track. Good. Head straight to Peter Pan first without a fast pass, and then ride any rides over there we can without using a fast pass first thing, and then hoping to book fast passes 30 days out between 10 and 1 for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, if my son is tall enough, Buzz Lightyear, and Pirates of the Caribbean. How does this sound? And then after we use those three, use an additional one for Barnstormer, Jungle Cruise, Enchanted Tales with Belle, etc., one after the other. I honestly have no idea what I'm doing and don't want to run around like a chicken with my head cut off there. Also, any tips or tricks you can give me for one day in the Magic Kingdom with toddlers or beat the fast passes for their ages would be much appreciated. Thanks again and love the show. You guys cracked me up. Samantha's a fellow Midwesterner. But again, you know, she doesn't know us enough to tell us like what part of the Midwest she's in. She's like, I'll give a region, but I'm not going to even give you my state. So like, she's like, I'm not even going to tell you I'm in Nebraska or like, you know, Iowa. She's like, you can figure that out. So I like it, Samantha. You haven't listened long enough. We aren't dangerous, but I probably wouldn't give your address either. So anyway, so they're going one day, May 7th. And you know what? I think she's actually got the thing she's doing right. Because this is a tough spot, man. It is. But I mean, you got to think about it is this is like an appetizer because you're going to go back. I'm telling you, you are going to go back. Kids are at the perfect age. They will be for the next 10 years, actually for the next lifetime. If I'm 45, I'm at the perfect age to still go. May 7th, it shouldn't be extremely crowded. I mean, that's a pretty good time to go. Good weather. Mm-hmm. You've got a plan of being there before rope drop an hour early. Bingo, that's awesome. Going to, you know, saving those fast passes for 10 to 1. I like that. So, Pam, take it over from there. What is she doing right? What does she need to think about?
So I think the challenge is going to be for her initially when I heard her plans is that you probably will not get seven doors at 30 days. Not at a time that allows you to get other fast passes that day. Because in the morning it's, I'm not going to say guaranteed because there's always a chance for that. But at 30 days, it's a challenge to get that. So what you may want to do is plan on doing Seven Dwarfs in that morning hour when you first get there. I would head to it soon after, you know, park opening, if not the first attraction that you go to experience and try that. And other than that, I think that you probably... I'm going to say that I think it may be easier for you to get fast passes for Buzz Lightyear and Pirates of the Caribbean than some of the more popular attractions later in the day. Like when I do a rolling fast pass, I can usually get one for Pirates and
yes.
Buzz.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I would look at maybe some of the other popular attractions that you may want to do in for your first fast passes of the day. If you're going to do Space Mountain, I would absolutely consider that one. If you're going to do Splash, that may be another one that you want to consider. Big Thunder may be another one that you want to be able to consider. And I absolutely agree with your strategy of hitting your first fast pass around 10:30 or so, and then trying to get them one right after the other. That may take a lot of tweaking, but just keep trying, keep trying, mm-hmm. keep trying, and something may happen for that.
And here's the thing, too. Even though you only have one day with, an almost four-year-old and, a toddler, like I think the other kids are on two, one and a half. The thing is, you can't go rope drop to close. Those kids can't handle that. You will be frazzled as well. So the thing is, you still have to build in. What I would make sure I do, even if I eat at Liberty Tree Tavern, or, I would get a sit-down meal, Tony's, Be Our Guest might be a challenge, but if you can get that, that'd be a cool experience. Cinderella's Roll Table, hey, you're going once, go big, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing is, have a sit-down meal, because that might be one of the most memorable, and if it could be a character meal, bonus. And here's the other thing you might want to consider. I know you might not want to think about this, but it might be time well used. Step outside the Magic Kingdom for maybe dinner. If it's open late enough, or lunch, maybe a late lunch and kind of like make it a dinner and kind of combine the two. Go for a character meal at the Contemporary, the Polynesian, or the Grand, and that gets you out of the madness for just a little bit. Get a good meal, get some pictures with characters, go back in, and then, tackle the park that way with rolling fast passes. So, Ricky, what else might you offer? Because I think Samantha's on the right track. I just think that she's going to be tempted to wear herself out, because with one day, that's what you do. I would say this, and I'd probably try to kill myself.
Oh, absolutely. And you would, I get it where you would feel like you are missing out, especially since you only have one day if you left the park. So, I agree with you in the fact that I think maybe, try to make sure you have a, sit down meal or something like that, but I would probably stick with inside the Magic Kingdom. I make sure you kind of also take time to kind of relax a little bit during the day. I know that's really hard to do, especially since you know that you're only going to be there for one day. Just know, you are not going to see everything. No. I mean, go into it knowing that. There is absolutely no way to do this and see everything. It's just not going to happen. So the fast pass game I am well skilled at. So basically all you need to do is as soon as you use your fast pass for the attraction that you're waiting in line for. So say you just scan your fast pass for Pirates. Start getting on the app, start trying to make your next fast pass. You can do that while you're waiting in line.
Yes.
And it makes it so much easier for you to get that next fast pass. So that way, you can stack them like she was hoping to be able to do. You're right, but I think that I definitely have no trouble with, getting fast passes for Buzz Lightyear or Pirates of the Caribbean or things like that. But it sounds like she is a little worried because she's got the little ones. So, I think maybe she was thinking that maybe she can't do things like Big Thunder or, Splash Mountain. But the height requirements are pretty, they try to get them so that they're a little bit lower for kiddos. Now, granted, you will probably have to use Rider Swap or something like that. But that might be something that you consider as well, keeping that in your back pocket to know that you can use that too. But you're going to have a great time. Absolutely. Just enjoy soaking up those memories. Definitely try to make sure you get character meet and greets because your kiddos are, I think, at the right age. Hopefully they won't be scared. And you're going to have a fantastic time.
Yeah, I think they'll remember the character meet and greets more than, you know, even the attractions when they get home at that age. You know, remember when I met Buzz or remember when I met, insert whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so let me get to this next question here. For some reason, like, it's fading. So, Justin, I'll get to your question here in a second. Let me get to this other one here. It says, help me, BOGP crew. You're my only hope. It's from Michelle, who's in Pittsburgh. There you go, Keystone State. Hey there, my husband and I are running our first Run Disney race for the Star Wars 5K in April of 2019. I have some questions I'm hoping you can answer in order to make this experience as good as it can be. Do you have any advice on picking up our bibs at the ESPN Center? For example, is there a best time to go when it's less busy? All right, let me answer this. She's got three parts. So the temptation is, now here's, you got two schools of thought here, Michelle. One, you can go like right when the expo opens. That's a trap. It's like Admiral Akbar said. He wasn't talking about the shield being up on the second Death Star. He was talking about going at expo opening. It's a trap. Nothing. Anyway.
I'm ignoring you, yes.
I love the silence.
I'm ignoring it.
So anyway, so you know
we're
what?
We're trying not to reward behavior.
Exactly.
That's why I love you guys.
We have an extinguishing protocol in place. Ricky and I talked about this beforehand. Any behavior that we don't want to see repeated, we just ignore it.
You guys were
a teacher for a long time. You should know this.
Yeah, I know. We are so family. That is exactly what my family would do to me. Anyway. Yeah, I was like, nothing. I was totally picturing Admiral Akbar in my head, like sitting on the deck. Anyway, so here's why you would go at opening of the expo. If you want to get things that are limited edition, like pins, you know, if you're really into the collectibles, because sometimes every once in a while things will sell out. They have quite a bit, though. If you go the first day, usually you'll get it. What I like to do, it's hard because you see people like if you go to the parks and you say, I'm going to do what Mike said, and I'm going to go about an hour and a half before closing. What happens is you go to a park in that day and you're like, I'll go later and you know, enjoy the park in the morning and the afternoon. You'll see people start rolling in with like all their merchandise and you're like, oh, I got to get me a jacket or I got to get me, you know, this or that. They're going to sell out and you start getting antsy. But I've gone like an hour before expo closing. Nobody's there. You don't have to wait to get your bibs. You can buy anything you want. Just about most stuff's still there. You might miss out on a couple collectibles, but you know what? You can get a jacket or a hoodie or whatever, you know, whatever you're looking for. And it's a great time. You can enjoy it. And there's just not much going on. So there's not as much traffic. So I like to go like an hour before closing of the day, but you know, do what you want. Tell me what you decide. If Admiral Akbar was right. She says, second, we're staying at the Beach Club for the first time. And we're wondering what's the best way to get to our resort to the starting line. You will take a bus because you cannot walk through Epcot. So, unfortunately, I know it's like awesome. Like, you're like, yeah, I'm staying in, you know, Boardwalk Beach Club, Yacht Club, Swan Dolphin. I can just walk through Epcot. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't. You got to catch a bus, but it's okay. It's fine. Maybe most importantly, what should we dress up as? Thank you for all you do, and may the force be with you. Michelle's in Pittsburgh. All right, Ricky, the running Star Wars 5K. What should they dress up as?
You ask the one person who doesn't care about Star Wars what they...
But you tend to see all the costumes.
I mean, it's going to be warm, so warm-ish in April, although it is in early April this year, but, you know, I would do pairing costumes, so maybe, you know, maybe...
Not stormtroopers.
That would be terrible to run in.
What about like what if one of them was what was that little fuzzy thing called from The Last Jedi? The porg. What if you have like a porg and one person's Chewbacca and like Chewbacca's chasing the porg? That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be cute.
Do you think, Pam? Anything you? Pam's she's a Star Wars fan. She knows.
I know. Furry people though.
Well, if it's cold.
You can like do brown and white and
you know, that's true. You gotta kind of cosplay it in that space. So, and those are the most, you know, those are the costumes I actually like seeing the most. Some of them you look at them, you're like, yeah. I know you're, and then it takes you a moment to think, I love those costumes.
Yes.
I think really any of the, I think I love costumes that sort of complement each other in one way or another. So the Chewbacca and the Porg thing, would absolutely work for me. I'm still so bitter about the Luke Skywalker dying that I can't talk about it.
It doesn't work that way.
Spoiler alert. I mean,
except to say that I'm bitter about it.
I know. Me too.
I'm right there. I still love Rogue One so much that I would love to see those characters represented more in all the stuff. That would personally make me really happy.
That movie was so depressing. It's so sad. It's like, oh.
It was so good.
It was so
though.
Are sad, you though. Okay, this
the
is in
the story. The story was fantastic, and no one died because they got real tired.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's true. Because I'd be dead. I'd be dead 7 times over this week. All right. Justin's got
Seriously.
The next question. I'm going to try to read it so we can't see Ricky on the feed, but I'm going to read it because it'll pop up on the screen here for a second. He says, okay, here's my dilemma. I have a reservation at Cape May Cafe and Sebastian's Bistro at the same time for dinner. I love Sebastian's, and it has been years since I have been to Cape May. I can't decide which one drops since I haven't figured out how to do both at once, even though I'm trying. So basically, Sebastian's Bistro or Cape May Cafe, Pam?
So we ate at Sebastian's and had a really good meal. I loved the restaurant. I love the look of it. I love where it is. That whole area of Caribbean Beach, like seriously, when you walk into Caribbean Beach, it's like, oh my goodness gracious, is this
the
same resort?
Yes.
It looks lovely. I love that area now. And we absolutely had such great service there, too. So our waiter was fantastic. So for many reasons, I think I would give Sebastian's a try, especially if you haven't been there yet. I don't know if you have or not. But if you haven't, I would give it a shot and see what you say. And I would love to say that I hope that this kind of cooking sort of rolls out to other restaurants because I got the jerk chicken when I was there, and it actually had a little kick to it.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so good.
At first, I started eating it, and I was like, okay, these aren't bad. You know, they're not too spicy. And then, like, as I continued with the next chicken wing, my mouth was a little tingly. And then as I got to the third chicken wing, my mouth was on fire. It's like, oh, these have a lot of kick to them. there's a little.
That's good. It's good to see that. So, yeah, lots of good things to choose from. But, again, look at the menu here. Look at the menu over in the Mouse for Less and check it out and see. But I really would give the nod to Sebastian's. If nothing else, then it's new.
Yeah, it's
and
the new hotness.
That's
I would
exciting.
Definitely do. Yeah, because, I mean, it is exciting to go to the new place. You know, I would say that, too.
Truly is. Truly
Ricky,
is.
Ricky, yep. You agree? I'd try Sebastian's, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the only thing is that Sebastian's is not seafood. So just keep that in mind. Like, it sounds like it's seafoody.
How
it's
is not it not very... seafood? That's not seafood at all? There's none?
No, not really. It was more Caribbean inspired. If you're looking for seafood, then you want to go to Cape May Cafe. There wasn't a lot of seafood on the menu. It's not like Cape May is. So yeah.
No, but they had a great crab cake. Trying to think what else. I think there definitely was like a fish of the day for that. So no, it's not all seafood. It really is Caribbean inspired. It has a lot of different choices for you, but I think you'll be able to find something probably.
All right, so I meant to put this in at the last question, but I want to make this announcement for those folks who are like Andrew. If you're listening to the show on Wednesday, as it's meant to be listened to, this evening, Wednesday night, December 12th, we're going to be doing a live call-in show. So watch the Facebook page, watch Twitter, Instagram. We're going to have all the information there. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a show previewing Marathon Weekend 2019 because we're inside of a month. So what I'm going to be doing is sitting here in the studio. I believe Ricky's going to be joining me. And we're going to be taking your calls. You know, if you have any questions about Marathon Weekend 2019, I'll be doing my best to answer those questions. I've run Dopey now 3 times. This will be my fourth. You know, the mechanics of getting down there, how to get to the races, what to expect at the expos, what to expect in the crowd, stuff like that. And also, if you're an experienced runner, hey, call in, give some advice to our first-time runners. It's just going to be kind of a 30 to 40-minute show that we're going to put out on the podcast feed, or, you know, because the holidays are coming up. We need to get some content there. So it'll be something well before Marathon Weekend to get us all excited for Marathon Weekend, but also to answer any questions you might have, because I see a lot of them in the Facebook chat right now. So if you could join us this Wednesday, okay, so it's tonight, December 12th, 7:15 Eastern, we're going to be taking your calls. So please plan on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, next question. Let me get to it. And what did I do with it? It is from Lisa. She says, or Lisa, I should say, 10 years of monorail snacks. Hi, I've been a listener for almost a year, and your podcast is the highlight of my commute to work. Well, thank you so much. Each year for the last 3 years, we visit the world a day before we go to the beach for a week. This June, we'll be staying one extra day and we'll be enjoying our resort, the Wilderness Lodge, one day and the Magic Kingdom the next day. I have two questions. One, we're celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary while we're there. Congratulations. We are hoping to have a balcony with a fireworks view as we did last year. Since our 2 and 5-year-old will need to go to bed early, I was hoping to have a cheese, check this out, Ricky, charcuterie plate. I got it.
Yes,
I know. Look, that's like, okay, I've heard that word before. And champagne with my husband to celebrate this milestone on our balcony. I would love for it to be delivered and make and easy to make a surprise. What recommendations do you have? The girls and I love Disney more than my husband, so I thought this would be a nice low-key thing to do to celebrate. All right, so she has a second question. So, Ricky, can you get a charcuterie plate and champagne? I mean, how would you get that up on your balcony if you're staying at Wilderness Lodge kind of catching the fireworks there, if you get a good room?
Oh, I mean, does room service offer a charcuterie board? I'm not entirely sure. If not, I mean, you'll have to sneak down and go to like, lounge there, Territory Lounge. Yeah. And see if they have, cause I know that they have a charcuterie board there, I think. And of course they'd have champagne. So that's the only other thing I can think of. Pam, can you think of anything?
So there is, at Wilderness Lodge, there is a sort of store that has grocery items. So, and they typically have like blocks of certain cheeses. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to get like a real fancy cheese, but they'll probably have like some cheddar or some Munster or something like that. And they also have like different lunch meats. Now, a charcuterie plate, this is not, but, you know, it may be something that you're able to get there. The other thing is, Geyser Point does, you know, and Roaring Fork does some takeout. Now, again, the charcuterie plate is not typically an option at Roaring Fork, but you might be able to pick out something that you could take up to your room that might be easier to get up there. I'm just not sure, I mean, how the lounges deal with, like, takeout as far as that goes.
Yeah.
You know, so consider that. The champagne you'll probably be able to get in the grocery store sort of area, too. They'll carry certain kinds of champagne, so consider that. The other thing is that you can work with, if money is no object here, you can work with private dining, and they can actually make things happen that aren't on the menu. But again, this is something that would turn out to be a pricey option, but you know, you want what you want.
That's
right.
So, yeah, hey, you only celebrate 10 years once on your balcony.
That's right.
So you can go ahead and talk with them about that as well.
All right. Our second question, our first night there, we want to take our girls on the monorail for the first time and do our own snack / dinner food tour. By the way, rumbling is happening for this is kind of off topic, but kind of the same thing. The cheer moms, which I'm not in this group. I just hear through Pam, you know, because we're going down because we've got a bid to Summit, which I don't know any of that means other than I get to do Cinco de Mayo at Epcot. I'm excited. And I'll be cheering for Platinum Athletics.
Enjoy waiting in line at La Cava de Tequila.
I don't care. I'll be happy, man. Anyway, so the moms are starting to think about doing like a monorail crawl. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I can hook you up. We'll get that squared away. So anyway, so she's also asking for a snack dinner food tour on the monorail. We'd like to get something from each, the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, and the Contemporary. We're looking for unique but kid-friendly 2 and 5-year-old palates. counter service/snack suggestions at each place for all of us to share. Thanks so much, Lisa. Oh, wait. She's in the sweetest town in America. What would that
Hershey.
Be, Pam?
That's
it. Look at that.
Yay.
Is that really what it's called? I just made that up. But is that what they call themselves?
Yeah, Hershey, PA. Actually, my sister was born in Hershey.
Oh, my. Is she sweet?
She really likes chocolate.
So do I.
I mean, yeah. The question of if her sister's sweet, though.
Oh, yeah. She can be sweet. She can be very sweet.
That was a very good way to answer that question. All right. So anyway, so what I would say, okay, let's each take one resort. I'm going to take the contemporary because it's easiest. With 2 and 5 year olds, you have that. It's almost like a Big Top Treats kind of light in the B. The kid always messes up. Is it Bell Bib DeVoe? BBB. The little store that has three initials.
Buena Vista Gifts.
BBG.
Yeah. Buena Vista Boutique.
Now everybody's got that stuck in their head all day. Poison. Anyway, so yeah, I would go there and get snacks out of that little glass case because they have like the dipped apples and, you know, all those kind of cool confectionery things. Kids like that, and I think you would have a good time there. So that'd be a good snack for the contemporary. Ricky, you're up for the Polynesian. What are you going to get the Polynesian that's kid-friendly?
Oh, sushi. I mean, go down to Captain Cook's, and they have a ton of great options there. But my personal favorite is the Polynesian nachos that they have. They've got pulled pork and pineapple, and they have the best chips ever. And I think that they can be kid-friendly, so those are really good. But they have lots of other things that are kind of Polynesian-inspired on the menu, too, in case. Or if you really want, if you're in the mood for ice, creamy-type stuff, you can go get a Dole Whip, too.
And I, you know, I was just thinking sweets, though, because they're from the sweetest town in the world, so they're probably used to it. But that would also be like getting Las Fuentes at Disney. You know, I get that all the time at home. Yeah. Maybe you don't want that. All right, Pam, you have the Grand. What are you getting for a snack that's kid-friendly?
So they actually have a really nice pastry case there at Gasparilla Grill that has typically a few different kinds of cupcakes, some desserts. They have some interesting desserts in another. They have a big case of desserts actually on the other side too. So I don't think you'll have any problem finding something there to get, you know, at the Grand Floridian. People always think, oh, the Grand Floridian is stuffy and not kid friendly. I've seen children running through that lobby just like any other lobby on property. There'll be lots of things for you to get. So,
and even better, I've seen parents scold their kids in the lobby, so you won't be the only one. So that's even better than the kids running through. And I used to think it was stuffy, and I don't anymore. I think it's just fun. It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It is nice. And they have some coffee drinks there as well for the parents, as you know, so consider that, like, some different ones sometimes, so.
And I got to send a shout-out to my buddy Scott, who our picture just came up with our Don't Stop Believing Santa matching shirts on from a couple years ago. We were running Hot Chocolate. Maybe it was last year. And I just got to say, like, he kind of came up with the idea for the girls, our girls, Emily and Mallory, to have a morning at the Ivy Trellis up at the Grand Floridian. And that was one of the best days we ever had. I really didn't even know that place existed. It was basically like a... It was like a bibbidi-bobbidi boutique experience, but for like a little bit slightly older crowd, like a 10 to 12-year-old. And I mean, they treated them like princesses. It was amazing. And that was kind of the day that we spent some time at the Grand and really got to have a good time. And we got to have tea, too, last year, which was awesome.
I think that they are now, I think it's at the Ivy Trellis, where they're now offering that same idea, kind of like the bibbidi-bobbidi boutique, but for older kids, for adults as well. I think that's where they're offering that. So if you
are, I got an email about that this week from a guest, Ricky. You just answered it. I hope she's listening. I said to email Ricky because I can't remember where that is. It's the Ivy Trellis. That would make sense.
Yeah, I think it's at Ivy Trellis. So they do like adult hair and makeup too. So not just for kids or teens. So that's kind of an interesting option for those who are looking for something fun to do on maybe a girls' weekend or something like that.
You could do that with a tea, man. That's like a really cool thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ricky, we're covering you up there. You got to kind of sit up tall so we can still see you while I pop this up on the screen.
I'm
because
sorry.
For some reason, it's fading us out on the bottoms. Mackenzie says in the live chat, she says, Ricky, when, where are all the painting classes around Walt Disney World? Any other fun classes? I've thought about Wine Bar George classes, paddlefish cooking class, any others that you can think of. And I know that with Festival of the Arts coming up, if you're going to be there, that's a great opportunity to do things like this, because I think they announced that just this week.
They did.
But where else can you do things like paint or, you know, kind of get your art on it down at Walt Disney World?
So a lot of the DVC resorts have the painting classes, and I know that a lot of them are for DVC members only, but you can always ask to see at the front desk. They have their list of activities for the month. You can see if they have some sort of painting class available for, you know, regular guests as well. So that's an option. The other option, and it was something that I talked about a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't sure if they were still doing it, but I saw confirmation that they were doing it very recently, and that's over at Emirates Patisserie. They actually have a class where you can go learn how to make a cake, because you know how they have their dome cakes? You could learn how to make one of their those there, and I think that that's a really cool thing. Plus, you get to take a cake with you, so that's even better.
Speaking of Scott again, the one time we took cake away from Top of the World...
Lines. Yes.
That was a crazy night. That was a huge piece of cake. That was gigantic. Anyway, okay, next question. Help, please, for the most magical birthday ever, Sunday, December 16th. Oh, you got it in just in time, Allison. Let's see what we can do. Hi, Mike and team. Love the show. I booked the ultimate Disney Christmas package for my family of four, my husband and two sons. They're 6 and 8. And arrives a couple days before the package starts. I guess they're getting there a couple days before the package starts, December 15th. Remember, I had to think about that. That's that package that includes candlelight processional, private dinner over at Epcot. What else did it come with? It came with tickets to the Christmas party.
Early entry, and you get to go and see.
It's a sweet
Toy Story Land, and also Pandora. You get a night event in Pandora. It's a sweet package. So, hello, that's a great package.
Yes. Okay. Here's what she says: I have a pre-park opening breakfast at Be Our Guest for that Saturday, the 16th. But I'm thinking about switching it to the early morning Magic Fantasyland package. This is my son's first trip to the world, and they will each have had a birthday the previous week. I'm leaning towards doing the early morning magic for two reasons. The magical feeling of having Fantasyland to ourselves, which you're going to like Friday's show, by the way, and because we only have another half day at the Magic Kingdom, plus the Christmas party, during which my plan is to focus on the party-specific elements, not the rides. The downside of arriving early and tacking on a park day is that I may need to pay for an extra ticket, an extra day of park tickets. At that point, adding on early morning magic tips into the ridiculously expensive day territory, but the little voice inside my brain keeps saying it's a small price to pay for the most magical belated birthday ever. What to do? Thanks, Allison. And I get it, you know, because if she adds on one day of Magic Your Way tickets, you know, the first day is always the most expensive. It's always the most painful, too. But I don't know. Ricky, what do you say? I mean, it sounds like she really wants to give them that exclusivity kind of feeling with the, because Chef Todd was just down at Walt Disney World and he posted a picture of his daughter G at the studios during the extra morning magic thing, or, you know, whatever they call that, the early thing in Toy Story. And it had a picture of her on Hollywood Boulevard. And then about 100 yards down, you can see where they're holding the day guests. Like, the park wasn't open yet, but they had them kind of lined up there at the middle of Hollywood and Sunset. And she was standing there with the biggest grin on her face because they're already in and they've had a good time. And the crowds are getting ready to, you know, she was like, wait, you know, it was like the greatest picture ever. Like, look at me. I'm ahead of everybody. And I think that's kind of what Allison's going to get. So I like her plan. I would say go for what she's got planned.
Well, and the thing is with the early morning magic now at the Magic Kingdom, you get 6 attractions that you have the option to take part in. So it's Peter Pan's Flight, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Winnie the Pooh, The Little Mermaid, and then there's 2 more that I'm blanking on. But there are 6 attractions that you have the ability to use. And then you get breakfast on top of that, and that's at Cosmic Rays. So I know that it's a little bit extra money, and it's for a family of 4. That's where it gets kind of hairy, is when you're looking at it for a family of 4. It's like, yowza! But you are getting breakfast included with that. So, you know, and they were thinking about getting breakfast anyway, because weren't they thinking about Be Our Guest?
Yes, that's kind of the either or kind of thing. Yep.
So, I mean, if you think about it that way, I might consider doing the early morning magic. I just think that you get a decent amount with your money on that, especially at the Magic Kingdom.
I would say, too, I think Ricky's right on the right track, Pam, because she's kind of already thinking about, like, we're not going to have enough, like, attraction time in the Magic Kingdom. And I think that's what she's going to get here, right, Pam? Because I mean, you also get the breakfast, too. I mean, it's not a Be Our Guest breakfast, but it's breakfast, and the kids, 6 and 8, who cares? You know, they could have Hardee's. They wouldn't care. I'm telling you. I mean, I was a 6-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy. I didn't care.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I've heard just so many great things about those early morning events, that people really enjoy them. They feel like they're worth the money. And they get exposure to something that not everyone's going to get to do. And I think that's kind of a cool thing too. Just part of, I mean, sometimes that exclusivity sort of feels cool to be in the Magic mm-hmm. Kingdom with not that many people around. It's one of the things that initially made the party so fun. So I think that's the way I would lean as well.
All right. Have a great trip and a happy, happy birthday. And also, Sarah says, she enjoys listening to the podcast. She's in her last week or two of school, and it's helping her get through it. So I know it's finals week at a lot of colleges, so good luck on your finals, everybody. Hang in there. Your break will be right around the corner. You can do it. I was there, and I'm so glad I'm not anymore. I posted on Twitter. I'm like, good luck on your finals. Oh, God, I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. All right, next question is from Julie. Listener question, Disney After Hours. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We're planning to go to the Magic Kingdom for one single night prior to our Disney cruise. We won't be able to arrive to the park until about 2 p.m. We had a disappointing view of wishes on our last trip, so I already bought the Happily Ever After fireworks / dessert party tickets so we can have a good view. However, I just found out that Disney's offering the Magic Kingdom After Hours the night we will be there. And you know what? I think this is perfect for a situation like this where you got like one day.
Yes.
And like, this is like nails for like post or pre-cruise. I love this idea. Anyway. I've heard it's a great experience and you can ride a lot of rides without the wait. Yes, Mark Yerkes in the chat, my good buddy up in Chicago, said he loves these things. This brings me to a dilemma because I don't want to pay for single day park tickets, fireworks, dessert party tickets, and after hours tickets. If you had to drop one of those, which would you give up? Also, can you tell me your thoughts on Magic Kingdom After Hours? We only get to Disney about once every 4 years, so I want to make our limited time special. Thanks for the podcast. Love listening every time. Julie. All right. Okay. So I'm going to give this one to Pam first this time. So she's got the dessert party for wishes, which is fun and good. After hours in the single day ticket that's going to get him in. But again, she's not going to get there. She said till 2 p.m. What do you drop, Pam? What do you do?
I think I may drop the single day ticket.
It's tough. Yeah. Because you're only getting there two.
Then the after hours though doesn't start until after that. No, and you know what? The reason why I would keep the single day ticket thing that's going to be the kicker for me is the ability to make fast pass. You can't with those other things. Well, you don't need to, but you can't. But you can't. And I think it might give you access to some of the things that you need. So the thing I would probably cancel is dessert party. Not that I don't love the dessert parties, because I absolutely do, but the other two things are actually admission-based, where the dessert party is really just having a better view for something, and that's probably what I would cancel. But I think all are a great buy, so I'm not, I mean, you know, I would think about doing all three still, but, you know. I know you said you want to cancel one, so I'm trying to tell you what I would do.
All right, Ricky, what would you do?
I would actually cancel the one-day ticket. And here's why. I have heard that people, the thing that takes the most time for people is literally just walking to the attractions and walking on the rides at Disney After Hours. So, I mean, the park is empty. You get treats with it,
it's kind of like almost like it's because you get treats, so it's almost like a little rolling dessert party without the fireworks.
It is like a mini dessert party. Yeah. So, oh, you know what? Now that you think about that, but she wants the spot for the fireworks, which is what I think her real thing is. So it's not necessarily about the dessert party. So I mean, you can see the fireworks relatively well from, you know, Main Street if you get your spot early. It just depends on how you feel about getting to your spot early. If you are taking advantage of Disney After Hours and you get in your spot pretty much when you walk into the park or not long after that, then, you know, you're still going to have a good spot, because you'd have to go to the dessert party, you know, right immediately as you get in anyway. So, that is a tough one. I think that I would absolutely do Disney After Hours, though. And then, you know, whichever one that you are would be least disappointed with missing is the one that you should cancel for the other option. And you know in your heart which one that is, because, you know, when you think about canceling it and you go, oh, but that's the one I really wanted, that, then you know that's what you really wanted.
Captain Obvious. Okay, good.
I know.
I love you, it's so funny. All right, well, you know
I
what?
I hate you so much.
I know. Hey, it's holiday season. That's what we do. All right, so anyway, that's going to do it. We're out of time, so we're going to cut the questions there. We'll do some more next Wednesday. Thank you so much. Again, please don't forget, join me tonight, this Wednesday, December 12th at 7:15 Eastern. We're going to have a show. We're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about Marathon Weekend 2019. Any questions, comments, what you're looking forward to? If you're nervous about something, we're going to nurse you through that. So I'm going to post this on the Lizards. Anybody can call in. We're going to be talking Disney, best resorts, stuff like that. We're just going to get you ready for Marathon Weekend. I got an open slot this Wednesday night all of a sudden. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a good time. So join us right here on Facebook. It's going to be a good time. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about quickly this week on Theme Park News?
So if you are a fan of the video game Kingdom Hearts, have I got an event for you. So if you are going to be in Walt Disney World from December 14th through January 31st, you can be one of the very first people to get to see Kingdom Hearts 3. So you can be one of the first to play a demo of the game before it even comes out on January 29th. And this is taking place in the town center section of Disney Springs. So this sounds really cool for those who are fans of the Kingdom Hearts game, because I know they've been waiting for a really long time for this game. So to be able to get a sneak preview of the game before it actually comes out is a really big deal for Kingdom Hearts fans.
All right. So you can find out these and other great stories. You know, just be connected. You know, right now I'm like in that thing. I can't pack yet. But man, I'm so excited to get down there. Like, I'm thinking about my meals already. I was running this morning, and I seriously came around the corner. I was thinking about my meals, and I was like smiling. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm smiling because I'm like, I haven't had a meal at Pinocchio's Village House in quite a while, and I don't know why, but I just want to go there and like wave at the Small World boats and have lunch. I don't know. I'm going solo, so I'm looking for some fun stuff.
I like that he wants to have lunch at Pinocchio's.
Why not? I haven't been there. I just want to give it a shot. You know what? I'm a simple man. You know. Doesn't take
That's
much.
That's right.
Anyway, so great news there. Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Check out these and other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we got a great Facebook page where you can see this video at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And check out the YouTube channel as well. It's youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here. And, you know, we'll be back again together on Friday, where we're going back because one of our listeners asked for this last Wednesday. We're going to do a Trapped In that we started that series, but we're going to be trapped in Fantasyland. What if we had to spend an entire day not leaving Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom? What would we do? What attractions? Where would we eat? What characters would we meet? What would we do to entertain ourselves between those things? It's going to be a great, great show. So join us again on Friday. And until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. But it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.